You transformed us this morning, now teach us how to stay transformed.
Good evening.
Good evening, brother.
That was all right. Let's try that again. Good evening.
Good evening.
Much better. The title for my lesson this evening is A Revival is Needed. So, my question for you is, what is a revival? It's simply a reawakening, but is defined as an awakening in a church or community of interest in and care for matters related to personal religion. This morning, my lesson was over Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, over how we are to be transformed and not conformed to the world. This evening, I want to tell you a revival is needed. The church needs a revival. Look at everything going on in the world right now. The world needs a revival. Look at everything going on in our country here. Our country needs a revival. We need a revival more than anything because we have many that have fallen away, many that have fallen asleep. And the only way we can ever have a revival starts with me. The only way that we can teach each other to spread the gospel starts with each one of us individually. It's not Jim's job. It's not the preacher's job. It's not the Bible class teacher's job. It's not the elder's job. It's not the deacon's job. It's our job as Christians. Look at Psalms chapter 85 and verse 6. Psalms chapter 85 and verse 6. Psalms 85, 6 reads, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" The word revive means to bring back to life, to become alive. And the idea is that of recovering them from their condition as a state of death. That is, restoring them as if they were dead. This morning we heard that Brother John Moore, he collapsed during Bible class and the EMS came and they revived him. Which means that there was no pulse, but they were able to bring him back to life. By the way, the last I heard, which Charlie had mentioned it, he's in stable condition and currently sedated, and they're running more tests on him. But please continue to keep him and his family in your prayers. He has done a lot of work in the kingdom and is very helpful. He's one of the teachers at Bear Valley where I plan to be learning under, so please pray for him. But you see, this is physically reviving. So what about revive spiritually? You remember that moment that you were baptized and you come out of that water and you had all that joy, all that excitement. You were a new person because you were cleaned of all your sins. And you couldn't wait to go tell others of what you had done and why you did it. You felt so good and you felt ready to spread the good news. Do you feel that same way this evening? Like we see in Psalms 85, 6. Will thou revive us again? It's not like baptism where we were revived for a one-time experience. But we need a constant revival in our spiritual life as well. Look at Psalms 51 and verse 12. Psalms 51 verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. We need to be revived so that we can feel that great joy of salvation like we felt that moment we were baptized and came out. We also need to evangelize. But you see, revival comes before we can evangelize because we have to work on ourselves individually before we can work on others. The first step in a revival is knowing that we need one. I, Jesse, need a revival. And that is the reason that I want to go to preaching school, because once I took on Christianity, once I started growing, I want to do better. I want to become a better teacher. I want to become a better preacher. And I want to fulfill the law of loving my neighbor. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. And we're going to be here for a little while in Romans 13 from verses 8 through 14. Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. Awe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if any there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now is at high time, to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We see at the end of verse 8, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Have you ever asked yourself if you're a loving neighbor? Maybe how good a dad are you? How good a husband? How are you towards your boss? How are you towards your coworkers? And how are you to your neighbor? Not your physical neighbor, but the people we see on an everyday basis. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. How are we to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Not only here in this building, but outside those doors, outside these walls, like we see here in Hebrews, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. That means they talked to each other throughout the week. They prayed for each other. They exhorted one another. We need that. Are we being good brethren by making phone calls to one another, texting each other to see how someone is doing, but spreading encouragement? I love it when someone sends me a text message and it may just be saying, I'm thinking about you, or I'm praying for you. We all need that. And I know I have been slacking, but I try as much as I can to encourage others. But how are you as a Christian? We see in Romans, in verse 11 of 13. Romans 13, verse 11. Knowing the time that now is high, time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We see awake out of sleep, meaning that sometimes we are going to fall. Sometimes we are going to have dry spells. We get too busy in our everyday life. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm always busy. And if you hang out with me, you're probably going to be busy too. You can ask Ashley, Kyle, and Garrett this weekend. They came to visit and we're sitting talking at Jim's, and Kyle goes, man, just this little weekend I was here, I helped you move 2 gun safes. I helped you unload a boxed-in trailer. I helped you move somebody, their whole house, in just a couple days. I put them boys to work. But the truth is we get really busy. We work 8 to 5. We get home. We got to make dinner. We got to help the kids with their homework. We got to take the kids to baseball practice. But we get too busy and we fall asleep in our Christian walk. We get busy in our wicked ways by being of ourselves. We need to be busy by doing God's way, the righteous way. To do this, we need to put God first in all things. When we at work, we need to ask, and someone ask you for help, let's bring up Jesus. When we're at the kids' baseball practice and you're sitting there and you're talking with the parents, we need to bring up Jesus. We need to wake up. The end of verse 11 in Romans 13, 11 says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Every single day that goes by, we are that much closer to salvation. And nobody knows the day that Jesus will return, like we see in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So not knowing the day of Jesus' return, then every day that goes by, we are just that much closer to when he arrives. We need to be awake and living the Christian life that we are commanded so that we are prepared for the light of that eternal day. We can go on in verse 12 of Romans 13:12. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Paul is saying here, because the day is near, we need to put away any works of darkness. And he describes some of these going on to the next verse of those worthless things that we have done. We need to put those behind us. We need to put those in the night. And when the morning comes, we need to bring it. As we as Christians need to put on the full armor of light. We see in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 15. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 15. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We must always have the full armor of God on. And being the full armor of God, the only way we can get this armor is by being filled with the truth. And we can only get that by studying the scriptures. If we have studied the scriptures, we can be able to answer those Bible questions when we are asked. We go into verse 13 of Romans 13:13. Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly as the day, in the day, not in the rioting and drunkenness, not in the chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. This morning I talked about how we are to keep our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, and not being conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's how we are to live. And if we are transformed and our bodies are living sacrifice, then we need to walk honestly in our Christian walk. And by doing that, we are going to be involved. We're not going to be involved with the works of darkness, like mentioned, like the rioting, the drunkenness, the chambering, the wantonness, not in strife and envying. And I had to look up some of these. I didn't know what chambering was, but it is fornicating and adultery. I looked up wantonness, and it means simply being reckless or excessive behavior. But we need to put all these worldly lusts and darkness behind us, and we do that by putting on the armor of light. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The world has a way of stopping us from serving the Lord. With all of our heart, souls, and minds, with its many distractions. That's why it's important that we wake up, we put on that armor of God, and we start evangelizing. I want others to see that I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind every time that they see me, so that they will want to be like me and do it as well. But if we have fallen asleep, a revival is needed. If we have darkness in our life, a revival is needed. Like we see in verse 11, it says we need to wake out of our sleep. Let's start walking honestly. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. We need to get into the light and out of darkness. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In verse 15, we see giveth light unto all that are in the house. You see, being a light starts in the home. You must teach our children how to be a light in the home first. Part of being a light in the home is, do the children see us reading our Bibles every day? Do they see us praying to God all the time? What do we allow them to watch on the TV? What do we allow them to listen to? And the list can go on and on, but are we being a light? Are we being an example in the house? Because that's where it starts. We go on into verse 14, Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. I need a revival. I need Jesus. I need to put my desire, my purpose, my obligation. If everyone in here has put on Christ, or if anyone in here has not put on Christ, you put him on by baptism. Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And once you put on Christ in baptism, we must live like him. We see at the end of verse 14 in Romans 13, 14. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Like the lusts of the flesh that were mentioned in verse 13. We are to put those behind us. We are to crucify them like we see in Galatians 5, 24. Galatians 5, 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Also, by making no provisions, we need to pick up our cross. Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I need a revival. And if I want to serve Jesus, but I keep making excuses to cover sins up, I keep committing, we need to pick up our cross and we need to follow Jesus. We cannot follow Jesus if a sin is holding us back. We cannot serve two masters. We see that in Matthew 6, 24. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. To fully put on and follow Christ, we need to serve God and not man. We cannot have anything or anyone holding us back. If a person is getting between you and God, you need to cut those ties and get back to serving God. Another way to follow Christ is by being a doer of his word. We talk about how we need to save the lost all the time, but are we doing it? We need to be doers. James chapter 1, verse 22. James 1, 22. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We also need to get our children involved with the church now, so that they will grow older. They will not depart from it. They will see the importance of being involved with the church and giving their all to God. Just think of all the children, all the teenagers that were in this building 10 years ago and where they are spiritually today. We as a church are losing our kids like crazy. And I'm not talking about just here in Italia. I'm talking about worldwide. Just think of what the business of the church is. It's to seek and save the lost. Charlie went over that in Bible class this morning on what success was. The success spiritually is. Just think of all the members that we lost this year alone to COVID. And yes, Lord willing, hopefully some of them will come back, but some of them probably will not. And look at the ones that we lost also physically from passing from this world. If you take those numbers and you see how many we had baptized this year, we are losing. We need a revival. Matthew 4:19. Matthew 4:19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If we follow Jesus, we can be fishers of men. I wish we could catch as much men as we catch fish, some of us in here. We would be adding on to this building like crazy. The fleshly lust, like mentioned in Romans 13, 13, they make you feel happy now, but they are going to make you a miserable Christian. And a miserable disciple. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is not profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. Anything or anyone that causes you to sin, you need to stop hanging out with that person, or you need to cut it off, so that you can take your cross and that you can follow Jesus. The only way you can fully be committed to Christ is if you have nothing holding you back. When we walk out those two doors, we need to be doers of His word and not hearers only. Back to Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And then you go down to verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now turn with me to Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 39. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So knowing that the scriptures say that this is the greatest commandment, is to love God with all our whole, all our soul, and all our minds, and to love thy neighbors as ourselves, then how much do you love your neighbor? We know that you love yourself because that's why you are here. You are trying to be fed so that you can save your soul to get to heaven. So something to think about is we need to show that same love to our neighbors. So like we read in verse of Romans 13:10, He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I heard an illustration that said a doctor, he had drove by an accident in this small little town. Someone was dying, and the doctor just drove on by. And it came out that the guy had passed away, and everyone in the town sued the doctor because he had the experience and tools to save that person's life. But he just passed on by. That's just like us. Think of all the people or all the souls that we walk by just every day. Our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our families. But people that just need Jesus, that don't know Him. And we just pass by every day when we have all the answers. We know the way to salvation, but we're not sharing it with them. How can we as Christians go day to day without telling our friends about Jesus? If our hearts are filled with Jesus. That brings me to my conclusion. We need a revival, but it starts with us, each one of us individually. I hope and pray that each one of us can be revived, like when we came out of that water of baptism. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. If maybe you have not been living the Christian life you should and would like to be revived tonight, maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation. The time to come forward is now, as Charlie sings the song that has been selected.